Welcome, everybody, to the first September edition of Three Up, Three Down. The pennant chases are starting. Exciting times heading into the playoffs as we are here on Labor Day. Hope you all had a Labor Day full of barbecues and baseball. Going to get right into the baseball action. Let me introduce my roundtable baseball associates once again for this week, starting off with Kurt Peter representing the National League Central.
How's it going?
Over to Brian Boynton representing the American League West.
Mine had barbecue, baseball, and a little golf sprinkled in, too.
Oh, there you go. Angelo Felicia representing the American League Central.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
And Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West. Jeremy, very excited. They just showed Michaela Maroney in a Dodgers jersey on SportsCenter.
I'm excited. I think you got that mixed up, buddy. That's all you.
I think you're more excited about this AJ Ellis game-winning single that just scrolled across once again. Good times for you over in Dodgerland right now as they cut the deficit in the wild card to, let me scroll down,
one game.
Oh, man. This is going to be some intense times. Coming up later, we will break down every contender that is within six games, give you who we think will make the playoffs in October. But we're going to start it off with the news portion. Steven Strasburg, the Nationals announced, will make two more starts this regular season. He is over 150 innings pitched right now. He will make his last start September 12th at Citi Field against the New York Mets. Guys, Strasburg coming back from Tommy John surgery. The Nationals are in contention with the best record right now in the National League, a game ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. Do we think that this is the right idea, protecting Strasburg's future despite being in a pennant race right now? Is basically dropping Strasburg out of the rotation for the playoffs and going with Ross Detweiler, potentially, or Edwin Jackson, the right move for the future of the Washington Nationals? We will start it off with KP.
I don't think you can shut down Strasburg. I know that they're concerned about his future and whatnot, but with the success rate of Tommy John surgery being like 90%, I saw John Brinkus talk about today on Sports Science. I don't know what else he does, but I don't want to say this is only going to be the only time the Nationals are going to have a shot to push to the World Series and make a good playoff run, because I think they've got a lot of young players. They're going to be fine for a few years. But to shut down the guy that's a Cy Young contender, that's throwing, he throws a jam every time he comes out, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think you can just shut him down. I don't think you can. What's going to happen? He gets injured again. No, I don't know. I don't think you can shut him down. He's going to win a game, and he's going to put you in a position to win a game every time he steps on the mound.
Jeremy, over to you. Your thoughts on the Nationals shutting down Strasburg for the postseason?
When I first started hearing that they were going to, consider that and, have the strict limit on him, I didn't like it at all. But now in this situation, I'm totally fine with it. In a situation where, maybe they're the Dodgers or the Cardinals or the Braves or a team like that that is fighting for a playoff spot, not that the Nationals aren't, but they do have a comfortable lead in the East, I think it's okay that he's going to miss a few starts at the end of the season. What I'm curious about is I'd hope that they would have the presence of mind to maybe get him at least some bullpen innings or a start at the very end of the season, just something to, not have him come into his first playoff game, his first playoff start, rusty, basically not having pitched in 3 weeks. So that's something that I'm worried about. But, they really have a real chance to make a run in the playoffs this year. So gotta have him 100%, whether it's health or just rustiness when it comes playoff time.
Now, the Nationals said that they researched this and this was the best way to do it. Allow Strasburg to go through spring training, come up every fifth day, make a start, and then shut him down and start the process again next year. Brian, over to you. A, do you agree with what the Nationals are doing with Strasburg? And B, your Rangers have a similar situation. Neftali Feliz, a young pitcher, will have to come back from Tommy John surgery next season. Would you want Texas to do a similar plan to what the Nationals are doing to Strasburg?
Okay, Strasburg and Feliz have two totally different pitchers. Feliz has started out in the bullpen when he came up. He has experience there. He excelled there. I expect him to go to the bullpen next year when he comes back and start, maybe become a starter the next season. Strasburg, I would put him in the bullpen, like Jeremy said, now. Skip those last two starts, keep put him in the bullpen now. So when the playoffs started, he's rested and not rusty, so he can fulfill his starts in the playoffs.
Angelo, over to you. Your thoughts on Strasburg getting shut down in the nation's capital.
This is what I think. I think that it's okay if you shut him down for the remainder of the season from a starting perspective. Give him a couple weeks off. Throw him in the bullpen or at least get some reps in throwing live action before the playoffs starts and bring him back in for the playoffs if they want to make any attempt at a run. If I was Strasburg, and I don't know if anybody else saw this, but they were asking Strasburg in an interview what he thought about this, and he says, you know, we need to have a talk, meaning him in the front office. If I was him, and they're really serious about shutting him down for the remainder of the year, if I was him, I'd just tell him, hey, you know, that's it. Go ahead. Do it. If you want to do that, that's fine. But when it comes time for me to resign, I will not be, you know, resigning here. Nationals have a legit shot at winning a World Series, and they need to do it with Strasburg. Otherwise, I don't see it happening.
You know, all this talk about Tommy John surgery makes me just want to go straight to this week in Tommy John. Minnesota Twins pitcher Lester Oliveros only pitched 1.2 innings this season for Minnesota. He goes down, will get Tommy John surgery. Not a big-name pitcher this week, but another player hitting the ranks of Tommy John surgery in 2012. Another player who tore his UCL but doesn't look like he will need Tommy John surgery, Rafael Furcal, the all-star starting shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. KP, how does this affect the Cardinals as they look to make a playoff push in the National League?
I don't think it would hurt him as much offensively as it does defensively, because he's one of the top defensive players in shortstops in baseball. He's only batting .264 this year, which is quite a bit below his career average of .281. But I mean, it's definitely going to hurt him. He's been a leader ever. I mean, even when he came in as a rookie, I always thought he did the right thing. He was very quiet about it. He led by example. He doesn't run his mouth on anything. He just kind of goes out there and does what needs to be done. But I think that the Cardinals are doing fine enough for now, but they do need a little bit of a push to help him secure a wild card position, as they're only a game ahead of the Dodgers, and Pittsburgh can also make a late run, so we'll see. It'll definitely make a difference, but I don't know if it'll make a big difference.
All right, a couple of players in the Eastern Divisions with no playoff implications on the line getting shut down for the rest of the season. Jose Bautista, the slugger for the Toronto Blue Jays, he comes back, re-injures that wrist. He is shut down for the season, will have surgery on that wrist going into 2013. Looks like he will be set to come back, but I would slide him down my fantasy rankings a little bit. Won't have third base eligibility anymore. He's right around a top 10 outfielder for me. There is a lot of depth in the outfield position in fantasy leagues. Jose Bautista, that wrist is a little scary, especially to power numbers for him. So we'll see what happens with him up north of the border. Vance Worley, the starting pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, no playoff implications here. So he gets shut down for the season. Does have surgery on his throwing elbow. Thankfully, not Tommy John surgery, just some bone chips floating around in his throwing elbow. He is shut down for the season. Going to get back to players that are hurt on teams with playoff implications, and we're going to start it off with Robbie Ross, the stud pitcher in the bullpen this season, rookie for the Texas Rangers. He goes to the DL of a strained forearm. How big of a blow is this to the Rangers bullpen?
Well, considering it's retroactive to last Thursday, which means he's eligible to come off September 14th, it's not as big of a blow. The problem is, for the majority of the season, he was the only left-handed reliever the Rangers had in the bullpen, and he did surprisingly very well. He has a 1.78 ERA, 6-0 record. They got some extra lefties in the bullpen now with September call-up, so it's not as bad. But he was starting to tail off there for his last few outings anyways. Hopefully this rest will help him for the rest of the season.
All right, and Brian, while I have you here, another injury in the American League West. Brandon Inge is done for the season for the Oakland Athletics. What do the Athletics do here to replace Brandon Inge? Is Josh Donaldson, who's been great since getting called up. Jeremy thinks he's a potential MVP candidate. Hashtag sarcasm.
MVP.
What do you think about Josh Donaldson replacing Brandon Inge in Oakland?
Well, certainly offensively, he's got to be better than Inge, right? But Melvin did say that until Inge actually has a surgery on his shoulder, he is available to pinch hit off the bench. He just can't go out and play the field because of the excruciating pain he's in when he throws. His offensive leadership, he doesn't really have it. He's a great clubhouse guy, I guess. I don't know. I guess Angelo could speak more on that. But it's just his feel is going to be more in what he brings to the clubhouse, not actually what he brings to the field.
All right, fair enough. Angelo, over to you. Gavin Floyd to the disabled list for the Chicago White Sox. How does that affect the race in the Central with Chicago and Detroit seemingly going down to the wire here?
Oh, that's a huge blow, I think, for Chicago because you've got 30 games left or less than 30 games left, and you're going to miss Gavin Floyd for three of his starts. That's not good for them, I don't think, at all. I think they need to get as many wins as they can on the stretch, and considering that Detroit's schedule is lighter than Chicago's going in the rest of the way, they need all the help they can get.
Strangely enough, Hector Santiago replaces Gavin Floyd in the White Sox rotation. You might remember Hector Santiago from such roles as the closer role earlier this season for Chicago before Addison Reed took over. We'll see if he can do a better impression of Gavin Floyd. Gavin Floyd has not been very strong this season. Over to Jeremy, two relievers in the National League West race. Clay Hensley to the DL for the Giants with a strained groin. Scott Elbert from the Dodgers bullpen also goes to the DL. Which one is the bigger blow to their respective bullpen?
Well, I think that it's Elbert for two reasons. First of all, he's kind of a Jose Bautista situation where he was on the DL, came back for a game, maybe two, and straight back to DL. So could be something long-term, which is not good news because Elbert was pitching well. Good lefty specialist this year out of the pen for the Dodgers. And that whole left-handed reliever situation got complicated tonight when Randy Choate left the game, taking a ground ball off the bare hand. So Dodgers might be left with zero lefties in the pen right now, which would be terrible for the stretch run. You need that kind of matchup specialist down there. Hensley definitely was a pretty important piece for that bullpen. Giants are kind of middle of the pack in the National League as far as bullpen ERA is concerned. Dodgers are a couple spots ahead of them, but, you know, both of them, you don't want to see any reliever depth going down. Good news with the expanded rosters is they can bring up some young guys that might be able to take over those roles and kind of, you know, make fans forget about the losses.
All right, that's going to do it for the injury news, pretty much. A lot of more players seemingly coming back than getting hurt this time of the year. I think this was the shortest list of injuries we had in 1 week this season. A couple players are coming back. Alex Rodriguez for the Yankees DH'd today. Alejandro Deaza came back for the White Sox. So that'll be good news for teams that players are coming back instead of getting hurt. Not good news for minor leaguers, though, that are looking to get some spots in September call-ups, though. Going to go over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy for this week, and we're going to start it off with Angelo, who has a pitcher who might be stealing a closer role away from an established closer.
I'm going to go with Vinny Pastano, who has just, after today, saved his second consecutive
game for the Cleveland Indians. Is he taking over for Chris Perez? Not too sure. I was there today, witnessed firsthand, and was kind of confused as to why Pisano was in, thinking I'd see Perez, especially with Cabrera being the last out in the eighth inning, and you're more than likely, you weren't going to face him. So I was shocked to see it. And I thought maybe something was up. Maybe Chris Perez has tweaked something, but who knows. But Pistano looking good in the closer role.
All right. Going to go over to Brian, who has another pitcher. Going to be a theme now. Starting pitchers who we think can help and then hurt your fantasy team heading into head-to-head playoffs, the last little stretch here in rotisserie leagues. These are guys that you should be picking up, and three guys in three-down territory that you should be dropping at this point. Going to go over to Brian. Who is your starting pitcher that fantasy players should be picking up?
It is none other than Seattle Mariner Hisashi Iwakuma, who has been put in as a starter recently. In his last 7 days, he has 13 innings pitched, a zero earned runs, and a .75 whip. And he's only given up one earned run in his last four starts. But he's been pitching pretty well. Granted, he pitches for the Mariners, so there is that. But his last outing was against the Angels, gave up no earned runs in 7.1 innings. So he's doing pretty good right now.
All right. And the last three-up pitcher for this week, we're going to go over to Jeremy, who has another Petco special for us down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's someone that actually came over from the AL Central much earlier in the year, like in mid-May. The Padres acquired Eric Stoltz from the White Sox back in May, like I said, and he's been, you know, up and down, out of the bullpen, in the rotation, but he's stuck in August in the rotation. He's, you know, actually been really good when he starts this year for the Padres, but yeah, this month especially, he's 4-0 with a 2.02 ERA. So definitely a guy, you know, he's been there. He's been around for a while. He's always been kind of a sneaky, streaky kind of guy. And he'll have a few good, really good starts in a row and then suck it up for a month. But it seems like right now he's riding that hot streak, and fantasy managers probably should too, because with the Padres playing good ball and they got nothing to lose down the stretch, so these pitchers are pitching well, the hitters are hitting. There's some sneaky good picks on the Padres right now to pick up for late season fantasy value.
Yeah, Padres have a lot of home games left. After this current series with the Dodgers, they have a 9-game homestand against the D-backs, Cardinals, and Rockies. And then maybe he gets past that Chase Field 3-game set and gets to pitch at AT&T Park at the Giants. You would like that, another pitcher's park. And then they close the season at home with, another 6-game stand after that, home against the Dodgers and Giants. So there's going to be a lot of Petco time, it seems like, in September for Padres fans. I like Eric Stoltz, owned in just 11% of leagues. If Edinson Volquez is out there too, another sneaky pickup that could help you down the stretch. Going to go over to three down, and we'll start it off with KP, who has a former darling of the early season whose star has fallen.
We're talking about none other than NL All-Star Lance Lynn, who came out a blazing first half of the season, thus he was an All-Star, and as of late hasn't been doing so hot. The Cardinals actually moved him to the bullpen. He's had a 5.23 ERA in the second half, not to mention a 6.56 ERA in August, which isn't too spectacular. But if you're looking to pick up someone with maybe some cheap wins, the Cardinals replaced him with Joe Kelly in the rotation, so the Cardinals will put up runs. He'll hopefully get some wins for you if you're looking for late wins. But Lance Lynn's allowed 2 earned runs in his last 2 appearances out of the bullpen, so you should probably drop him. I mean, he's not going to get you wins, and he's letting up a lot of runs.
All right, going to go over to the next pitcher. It is going to be mine, and I don't understand why this guy is still 54% owned in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. It is Ricky Romero of the Toronto Blue Jays. He has the highest ERA of any eligible pitcher in the major leagues at 5.85. He got absolutely rocked by the Tampa Bay Rays in his last start on Sunday. The ERA is terrible. The WHIP is terrible. He's not getting you wins since he started 8-1. He was 8-1 on June 22nd. Since then, he is, let me click, 1-0-12 with a 7.98 ERA.
Oh, God.
And he's facing the AL East. You just want no part of him. There's no Bautista in that lineup to get him some run support. Encarnacion has absolutely been incredible, but there's not much you need. Just stop. Stop it with the Ricky Romero. 54% of you are absolutely ridiculous. Gonna go over to the last pitcher on three down this week who you should be avoiding for your playoff run. And there are a lot of stadiums that strike fear into pitchers as hitters' parks. Coors Field, Chase Field is another one of them. Jeremy, who's your three down pitcher?
That would be Trevor Cahill. I believe we had him a 3-up much earlier in the season, and he was doing well for a while, but you know, the guy's been terrible in August. Doesn't look like he's going to get any better in September, because like you said, he's got the the tough schedule coming up. But in, six starts, I believe. Yeah, six starts in August. He only had two decisions, lost them both, 0-2 with a 5.08 ERA. Saw his season ERA climb up about 30 points, up above 4 to 4.02. Yeah, he had one good start in the middle, ironically against the hot-headed Cardinals, somehow, only allowed one run, but the rest of them were three or four runs in, 5 to 6 innings. Just, it's not real good stuff, especially from a guy that Arizona brought in to be, a top-tier pitcher for that rotation.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're ever going to go back to those days in 2010 when Trevor Cahill was an 18-win pitcher with a sub-3 ERA in Oakland. I would love those days to come back, but I don't think they will, especially in that hitter's haven that is Chase Field. That'll do it for 3-up, 3-down this week. Moving over to the playoff races, it is September. Things are heating up. Postseason right around the corner, so we are going to go through every contender that is within 6 games. That's what where we're cutting it off, KP. I'm sorry. Aww. We're not going to talk about the Brewers. If they make it, it'll be great. I mean, the Cardinals were still this many games out when everything happened last year. I don't want to talk about that. But the Brewers, we'll just say, Brewers in Arizona, 7.5 out. If they make it, yell at us for not talking about them. Write us an angry email. It'll be fine. We'll take it. But we're going to start it off. The American League Central, the tightest race there is. The White Sox win tonight to open up a 1-game lead on the Detroit Tigers after the Tigers swept the White Sox over the weekend to get right back into it. White Sox 1 game up on Detroit. Detroit a game out, 3 games out of the second wildcard spot. So it seems like these two teams are playing for that one spot to represent the American League Central. Angelo, going to start off with you. What percentage do you give each team of winning this? Is this a dead 50-50 heat right now?
No, I don't think so. I know it's a little biased, but again, I mentioned earlier about like the schedule for both teams looking forward, and the Tigers just have a huge advantage there. It might come down to how big of a difference the series at Chicago is in a couple weeks. If the series comes out as a split, the Tigers are going to win the division. If it comes out as a 3-1 or maybe a 4-0 White Sox series, then it's possible that the White Sox might win this. But I think the Tigers have about a 65% chance to the White Sox 35% of winning the division.
All right, Brian, over to you. What percentage chance do you give the White Sox and Tigers of making the playoffs?
I give the Tigers, I think it's a 60-40 split in favor of Detroit.
All right, fair enough. Going to go over to KP. What are your thoughts on your corresponding division on the opposite side?
I'd like to see Detroit get in, mainly because Prince Fielder plays for them. But I definitely think that Detroit has a better chance. They've got better pitching. They've got better hitting, even though the White Sox have managed to keep the game lead that they have now.
And Jeremy, your thoughts on the race in the AL Central between the White Sox and the Detroit Tigers?
Well, in my personal preseason predictions, I picked the Chicago White Sox to finish last in that division. I'm sticking with it. No, I'm just kidding. I really messed that one up. But I do think that they will miss the division title. They might miss the playoffs altogether, depending on how the wild card picture plays out. But I do think, Angelo, your Tigers are going to take it. I'm going to give it about the same 65-35 split as you did.
Yeah, I'm about 60-40 still on Detroit. I think there's just too much talent there, and they still have a whole month to make up one game. I'm not sure exactly, but I think we all went under on the Chicago White Sox, and our friend Travis Miller yelled at us, and it turns out Travis was right for once. So we owe him an apology, and we owe an apology pretty much to all White Sox fans for not believing him this season, but hey. That's why you can't predict baseball. Going to go over to the American League West, where the Texas Rangers are 4 up in that division, 5 up on the second wild card from making the playoffs at all. I will start in 5% increments going down. You say stop when I get to the one you think the Rangers have of making the playoffs. Who thinks they have a 100% chance of making the playoffs?
Me.
Stop.
Me.
Stop.
All right, we'll go over to Brian. Brian, why do you think your team is locked into the playoffs, basically?
I mean, we wake up, we piss excellence. We're just pretty much, no, I'm just kidding. well, if you look at it right now, granted, Oakland is probably the hottest team in baseball right now, but they did lose to L.A. today. I'm looking for an Angels sweep. I've never cheered for the Angels so hard in my life before. But Texas has an easier schedule to end the season, whereas Oakland has a much tougher schedule. Got to go to Detroit, going to the Yankees, going to Boston again. Their schedule is much tougher than the Rangers.
All right. Who else said stop? KP, right?
Yeah.
All right. Why do you think the Rangers are a lock for the playoffs right now?
Because I don't think Oakland can catch them. As hot as they're playing, they just don't have enough power to keep them going.
All right. Going to go down to – all right, we'll skip 95. 90% chance that the Rangers make the playoffs.
Oh,
Angela, Jeremy?
You might as well stop there. I was going to say 95%, but yeah.
95 for Angelo. All right, Jeremy, we'll just ask you, what percentage chance do you think Texas is locked into the playoffs?
100.
Oh, you were at 100. Sorry, I missed you
then. No worries.
All right, so we pretty much think, I think Texas is a lock too. Too many teams would have to pass them in the wild card for them to not make the playoffs as they look to make the World Series for the third straight season. Going to go over to the East, which has gotten incredibly interesting. Baltimore takes 2 out of 3 from the Yankees over the weekend. Should have been a sweep if not for a wonderful comeback by the Yankees on Saturday, down 3-0, and come back to win 4-3, or that AL East would be tied right now. Yankees 1 game up on the Orioles, 2.5 games up on the Rays, but the Yankees are, let me figure this out, they are also 2.5 from being out of the playoffs completely, as they have the same record as the Oakland Athletics. So we'll start it off with the Yankees, up 1 game. What percentage would you say that the Yankees still make the playoffs? They're in the driver's seat right now. We'll start it off with KP.
What percentage I think the Yankees will make the playoffs? I think they're going to make the playoffs. So I'm going to probably have to pick
80%. Going to go over to Angelo. What percentage do you think the Yankees still make the playoffs?
I'm going to go 75.
All right. Brian, over to you.
I'm going to have to agree, 75.
And Jeremy, your thoughts?
My gut's telling me to go way high, like 90 to 100 range, but I think I'm going to settle around 85.
All right. I think it's about 80-85% too, but completely different tangent. How much would you pay for a postseason with the Yankees out and the Boston Red Sox out? And the three playoff teams are Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Oakland.
I'd pay $25.
$24.99, Bob.
I'm going to go low and go 15 because I just don't care.
You'd rather have the Yankees in the playoffs. Hey, wouldn't you think that would help the Rangers? I feel like yours would be higher.
No, because if the Yankees aren't, we beat the Yankees in the playoffs already. So
yeah, how many World Series did that net you?
Hey,
gosh.
How much money would you pay for a World Series ring, Brian?
Would I personally pay for a World Series ring?
I know you're broke, but come on.
I'm broke, so I'll give you all the money in my bank account, like $37.
Worth it.
Angelo, how much would you pay for the Yankees to completely miss the playoffs?
Oh, I wouldn't. We beat the Yankees, too. I don't care.
How many World Series did that net you? Boom!
Wait, how many World Series does Milwaukee have?
One.
Okay.
They're these Rangers and Tigers fans, very confident in beating the evil empire come October. All right, that'll leave the wild card race. Baltimore, a game back still in the East, but is in the second wild card spot. The A's currently in the first wild card spot, a game ahead of Baltimore, 2.5 games ahead of Tampa Bay. Two teams for three spots. If we want to say the second place White Sox or Detroit is in that, it's three games out for them. The Los Angeles Angels are 3.5 out. So really, I'm sorry, two spots for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams. Which two make the AL wild card? We will start off with Jeremy this time.
Oh, I might get some crap for this. I've been saying for the last week or so, I love the A's. I have a lot of friends up here that are rooting hard for them, but I just don't see it happening. I don't think they're going to maintain through September. I think the Tigers will take the Central, and I think it'll be Tampa Bay and the Angels sneaking for a wild card there.
Ooh, interesting. Very interesting. KP, over to you. Which two teams make the AL wild card in your opinion?
Oh, man. I don't think the A's can keep that hot pace up, but I also would like to see the Angels get in. I mean, they assembled such a good team in the offseason. I think that they have the chances to make it. I'm not a huge Detroit fan, but all these teams are good. It's kind of like picking apples and oranges at this point. I'd love to see any of those teams play in the playoffs.
All right, Angelo, over to you. If Detroit wins the AL Central like you're hoping on that 65% chance, who do you think gets the two AL wildcard spots between Baltimore, Tampa, Chicago, Oakland, and LA?
I'm going to go, because Oakland has such a hard schedule coming up, I'm actually going to go with Baltimore and Tampa Bay.
All right, and Brian. No,
or New York, either way, or New York.
New York? Yeah, okay. Think one of them catches the Yankees and New York ends up in a wild card. That's intriguing. The lack of Yankees pitching depth right now, if they have to play that extra game, would greatly affect them. But then again, it would probably affect Baltimore playing that extra game as well, as they don't have any pitchers. Seems like the only ones that would be prepared for this extra game would be Tampa Bay with all of their pitching that they have stocked up. Brian, over to you. Which two teams do you think make the American League wild card?
Well, Tampa Bay is pretty seasoned at making the late season run, so Tampa Bay, I think, is obviously going to get in. I think Detroit's going to win the Central, and Chicago is going to fall out of the playoffs. And I actually think the Angels are going to pass Oakland and get the wild card there. And I think the Angels and Tampa Bay would be an awesome one-game series to get in the playoffs because it matched David Price versus Jared Weaver.
Yeah, that would be the definite hope of TDS executives that have to show that one-game playoff, that it would be Price versus Weaver. That would be magical for them. I'm going to agree with Angelo that both East teams make it. I don't know how Baltimore is going to do it, but they just seem like a team of destiny right now, and they're just going to piece it together. Buck Showalter might be the AL manager of the year. Oakland, I absolutely love them. I love the story. I love Josh Reddick. I love Yoenis Cespedes. I love all that pitching. I love Brett Anderson's comeback. But when you look at the schedule and starting after this Angels series at home, at Seattle, at the Angels for four, home against the Orioles, which will be one huge series in that AL wildcard race. And then after that, the brutal 10-game road trip for the Athletics, at Detroit for three, at the Yankees for three, at the Rangers for four. That might be the death knell on the Athletics' AL wildcard hopes. Going to go over to the National League side now, and we're going to start it off talking about the two teams that we think are locked into the playoffs 100% on both. If any of you disagree with me, let me know now. The Nationals 6.5 up in the National League East, 9.5 up on the second wildcard team, while the Cincinnati Reds are 8.5 up on the second wildcard team, which coincidentally is also their lead in the National League Central because the Cardinals are the second wildcard team right now. We know they're going to get in. What do you think are these teams' chances of winning the World Series? Going to go over to Jeremy.
You want a percentage on what chance I think they both have to win?
Yeah, we'll take a percentage.
All right.
Percentage works.
It's going to be a shot in the dark, but I think well, how about between the two? I think that the Nationals, you know, despite the Reds probably having a, you know, more potent offense, especially if Votto comes back full strength before the playoffs, I think that that Nationals pitching staff is so filthy that I think they have a better shot than the Reds. I think they both, you know, have great shots. You have to have them on paper as favorites to play each other in the NLCS. Give me like, I'm hesitant to go even above like 60 just because anything can happen in the playoffs as we saw last year. Give me like a 55. 55 Washington.
All right. Well, we'll keep it with that way. Which team do you think has a better chance of making the World Series, Washington or Cincinnati? Over to Angelo.
With Strasburg, Washington.
Even with Strasburg? Without Strasburg?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Going to go over to Brian. Who do you think has the better chance of making the World Series, the Nationals or the Reds?
Again, with Strasburg, it'd have to be Washington. Without, Cincinnati.
KP, do you have the same feelings about the Strasburg versus Strasburg-less Nationals?
No, I think the Nationals could do it either way.
I'm actually going to go with the Reds. I think the offense is solid. Todd Frazier has been great bringing back Votto. They still have Phillips. Cozart and Phillips have been great up the middle, but they have Cueto, but if the Reds can turn it into a six-inning game and then trot out Broxton, Marshall, and Chapman, that's kind of intriguing, especially if they unleash Chapman into a Mariano Rivera-esque six-out save guy in the playoffs. You gotta like the Reds' chances to bounce back after they got eliminated in the first round in 2010 by the Phillies. Going to go over to the National League West race now, where the San Francisco Giants have a 4.5 game lead on the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles. What is the percentage that we have of San Francisco making the playoffs? 4.5 up, 5 up in the wild card of the second wild card team. Gonna go over to Brian.
Percentage San Francisco gets in the playoffs. Jeremy might hate me for this because I'm actually gonna go over 50%. I'm gonna go 54 to be exact. 54%.
All right. Gonna go over to Angelo. What are your thoughts on the Giants making the playoffs this season?
I think they're about a 90% chance.
Jeremy, are you ready to raise the white flag slightly on the Giants making the playoffs this season?
As much as I'd love to scream out 0%, 0%, I can't do that. I mean, they're still, even losing Melky, they're still a solid team, one of the best, if not the best, pitching staffs in the league. So, yeah, Brian, I think you went low. I think I'm going to give them, like, mid-80s probably to make the playoffs.
KP, over to you. What do you think are the chances the Giants make the playoffs this season?
90%.
Yeah, I'm about 90% too. I think the Giants are pretty much locked in. It's going to take a pretty epic collapse on their part to miss out. That is going to leave us with the National League wildcard race, where the Braves are currently leading over the St. Louis Cardinals by, let me add this up, because this whole thing, they don't have the plus thing on. They're 3 games up in the win, 3 games down in the loss. So they are 3 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals, first to second wild card, and they are 3.5 up on the Dodgers for the second wild card spot, and 5.5 on the Pittsburgh Pirates. St. Louis is currently in the second wild card spot, 0.5 game up on the Dodgers. Pittsburgh, 2.5 back of the Cardinals. Started off, do you think the Braves have another collapse in them, or did the chipper walk off Mammo and Chris Medlin save their chances for the postseason? Going to start it off with KP.
I think Atlanta's riding the hottest wave right now. I mean, they're playing really well. They've got a lot of momentum. I mean, the chipper Twitter thing is certainly helping. I don't know how, but it is. I mean, they've just got a lot of – they're playing with a lot of swag, as the young kids like to say. So I think that they've got a lot of forward thinking. I mean, their pitching's been pretty good. I mean, Medlin's only been doing magic for them. So I think that they've got the most to lose if they crumble.
Yeah, I think the 6-man rotation has worked out well for them. It'll save the pitchers for the playoffs as well, keep them a little more rested. Brian, over to you. Do you think the Braves are pretty much set in, or do they have another September collapse in them?
They're pretty much set in. I want to see Chipper in the playoffs one last time, so I think they make it in just for him.
Angelo, your thoughts on the Braves making the playoffs?
I think they had a really good chance of that last wild card spot, so I'm gonna go 85%.
All right, and Jeremy, over to you. Your thoughts on the Braves making the playoffs this season?
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy race. I mean, those Dodgers, Cardinals, Braves separated by 3.5 games right now, and you got to keep in consideration the Pirates just in case they heat up again. I think the Braves will make it. I think they'll be the first wild card. Like you guys were saying, it's Chipper's last season. I think that's a lot of motivation for that team, especially with some guys who probably grew up looking up to Chipper, don't want to let him down.
Only 3.5 games separates the Braves from being the first wild card to being completely out. The margin was bigger last season. I'm still worried. That's going to be my worrisomeness for this season, just because last season happened. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want it to happen, but it's still in the back of my mind that, hey, we were 8 games up at this point last season and blew it. 3.5 is nothing. So I think the Braves are going to use that to fuel them. I think that they're going to make it, but that's got to scare you if you're a Braves fan that this could happen again. If we all think the Braves are in, that leaves one spot between St. Louis, who is in there right now, the Dodgers 0.5 game back, Pittsburgh 2.5 games back, and then, as we said before, Milwaukee and Arizona 7.5 back. And you know what? Sure, Philadelphia 8 games back. That's what the Cardinals were last year at this point. Who gets the second wild card spot? We're going to start it off with Jeremy. Do your Dodgers get it?
You know, they'd be doing me a lot of favors if they would just catch the Giants and I could let the other teams, you know, fight for the wild card spot. If they do catch the Giants, please, please, please. that changes everything. But as it stands now, it's, I mean, for me, it's a coin flip, honestly, between them and the Cardinals. I don't think the Pirates are going to make it. They've just been playing terribly lately. Arizona, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, long shots for sure. Don't see them coming back. Sorry, KP. Yeah, man. Do I have to choose right now? I mean, you know I'm dating a Cardinals fan. This is torture for me.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they have a one-game playoff for the second wild card, what is that going to do to your relationship?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go to the bar and watch. You can stay here and watch it. That wouldn't work out very well.
All right, KP, over to you. Who gets the second wild card spot, in your opinion?
The Brewer? No. I do think that they could, but it's a long shot.
Okay. 7-3 in their last 10. They're heating up.
They are. They score runs. What do you know?
If they could not suck on the road. I'm going to look up their schedule while you're...
They do have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way in. And they play a lot of the teams that are ahead of them, so it's uplifting in that regard. But I do think... I think the Dodgers have a good chance with all the acquisitions they just made. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez has been nothing but gold for him as of late. He's driven in runs and hit home runs. I don't think the Diamondbacks will ever make it. I don't think Pittsburgh's pitching can hold them up as well as they have been playing. So I'd like to say a 2% chance for Milwaukee and about a 60% chance for the Dodgers and like a 40% chance for or 38 for the Cardinals.
Brewer's schedule left. At the Marlins, not bad. At the Cardinals, that's rough. 6 at home, 3 against the Braves, 3 against the Mets. Say they pull a 4-2 there. Then they have a 10-game road trip at the Pirates, at the Nationals, at the Reds, all contending teams.
See, that's what I mean. But if you win a bunch of those, if you go 2-1 at all those, you make up ground every time.
But this is where it gets interesting. The last 6 games for the Brewers, say the Brewers can maybe get to 3 out.
Houston and Padres.
These last 6.
Houston and Padres.
Houston and Padres at home. Very, very intriguing for Brewers fans. You're not out of it yet. A long road for the Brewers to make the playoffs. Gonna go over to Angelo. Who is your second NL wildcard team?
I'm gonna go with the Cardinals. Plain and simple. I just think that they just have just enough to get into the playoffs again. And who knows? Maybe we'll see another magical run. Not that I want to see it, but it might happen.
All right, and Brian, over to you. Who's the second wildcard team out of the National League?
I can never cheer for St. Louis, so I'm not even going to go there. No, I think the Dodgers legitimately take it up. With all the acquisitions they made, I think they're going to get it.
All right, and I personally am hoping the Pirates get it just because I think it would be awesome. Sorry, Jeremy. Sorry, Kelsey. But I just think it'd be cool if the Pirates do it, so I'm rooting for that. But I think the Dodgers are going to somehow buy their way into this second wild card spot. We'll see what happens a month to go. One last little bit of news that we didn't get to on this show, the Major League Baseball announces that the 2014 All-Star Game will be held at Target Field in Minneapolis, the home of the Minnesota Twins. Our friend, 2012 Major League Baseball fan cave dweller, Lindsay Gensel, huge Twins fan. She is our senior Minnesota correspondent. I was lucky enough to catch up with her to get the breakdown on the Twins getting the All-Star Game in 2014. So here is that right now. Joining 3U3D on the phone, 2012 MLB Fan Cave dweller, Lindsay Gensel, our senior Minnesota correspondent. Anytime anything happens in the great state of Minnesota, we got to turn to Lindsay to get her analysis. This week, Major League Baseball announces that Target Field and the Minnesota Twins will host the 2014 All-Star Game. Lindsay, how excited is the state of Minnesota, and what was the initial reaction to getting the All-Star Game?
Well, everyone here is so excited. You know, it's been a very long time since we've hosted the All-Star Game. I wasn't even born when the last time happened in '85, but It was kind of a pretty poorly kept secret, and so for most of the fans here in this great state of Minnesota, it was just waiting for the actual announcement. So when Commissioner Seelig came to Target Field and you know, made that confirmation for all of us, it's just, it's awesome. It's awesome for the Minnesota Twins. It's going to be fantastic for both Minneapolis and St. Paul and, you know, the surrounding areas, as well as the state. Hopefully it'll be a springboard for our other professional organizations here in town, you know, to show them that we can handle, you know, taking on something of that caliber.
The Vikings are in the market for a new stadium, trying to get taxpayers to vote on that. Kind of how Major League Baseball, quote unquote, promised the Twins the All-Star game if they got a new stadium. Maybe the Vikings, if they get a new stadium, can get a Super Bowl. Can Minneapolis use the All-Star game kind of as a way to show their goods to possibly get a new stadium and a Super Bowl in that town?
Most definitely. I think that it would be a perfect dry run for the Minnesota Vikings and for the National Football League to kind of take a look at the metro area and see what we can do. And also, you know, the Viking Stadium will be rebuilt in downtown at the old site of the Metrodome. And so I think it'd be a really great opportunity to show just what downtown Minneapolis can offer on a game day and in a special event situation. So I think it's going to be awesome. I love the fact that it promotes the Minnesota Twins and baseball and Major League Baseball. And it's kind of this culmination of so many years of really working hard to get Target Field, which is a phenomenal stadium, but it'll also benefit so many other organizations in town. And I just want it to be 2014 already.
All right. You alluded that it is the first Minnesota All-Star game since 1985. Fun stat, Minneapolis and the Twins will become just the third city joining Pittsburgh and St. Louis to have three All-Star games in three different stadiums. Of course, Metropolitan Stadium hosted the 1965 All-Star game, the Metrodome hosting in 85, and now Target Field in 2014. Big time in Kansas City. George Brett, pretty much, he could run for mayor, president, whatever he wants in Kansas City. He was a perfect All-Star Game ambassador in the 2012 All-Star Game in Kansas City. The two biggest prospects that you'd say would be the twin ambassadors would be Harmon Killebrew and Kirby Puckett. Both have sadly passed away. Who could we expect to be the Twins ambassador for the 2014 All-Star Game?
Well, you touched on it. You know, we are missing Harmon and Kirby, and I think Harmon would have been a perfect ambassador. He's definitely someone who's been with the organization from day one, and his passing meant a lot to the Minnesota Twins, and he still is the face of the Minnesota Twins organization. There isn't a fan who, you know, doesn't respect what Harmon did for baseball here in Minnesota. So, unfortunately, he didn't make it to take on that honor. And you're right, George Brett did a phenomenal job in Kansas City. But he also is the face of that organization. And I think for the 2014 All-Star Game, I think it would be in the Twins' best interest to kind of have like a boys' club. You know, we have a lot of former players who have come back to Minnesota and really made it their home during baseball season. We have Bert Blyleven, Ron Coomer, Tim Laudner, Roy Smalley, all working on the TV side of things with Fox Sports North. There's Dan Gladden on the radio side. Rod Carew, Tony Oliva are always walking around. Paul Molitor. I know you don't want to hear this, but we could throw in Jack Morris, Kent Herbeck. I mean, there are so many Twins players, you know, from across the generations who mean so much to the organization. And I think it'd be awesome to almost have kind of like a fantasy team, like a group of guys that have been loved over the years, but really represent what Twins baseball is all about. And I don't think that you could really pick one out of that group. You know, Bert Blyleven's probably the top of the chain just because of, you know, the recent Hall of Fame induction and the whole Circle Me Bert campaign that he has going. But all of those guys have done such wonderful things within the Twins organization. I think it would really be a positive change for the Twins to kind of make it a group effort instead of singling out one of them.
All right. Just as long as you keep Jack Morris, Kent Herbeck, and Gene Larkin away from 7-year-old Brian Mapes when I come to Minneapolis for the All-Star game, that's all I ask. I'll do my best not to punch them in the face for ruining my childhood.
I'm not even going to get into this with you.
I know.
But we're not even touching base on the 1991 World Series, because I have a feeling if we continue this conversation, I will renege my invitation to you to stay with me during the All-Star game. And so it is in your best interest to just move along.
All right. I will be good here. Maybe the Braves will redeem themselves with a 2012 World Series title and I can forget about 1991.
I'm okay with that. I would love to see Chipper go out on top. I think that would be fantastic.
Yes, another one on my side. All right, a lot of things to do in Minnesota. Of course, the big one, the Mall of America, the largest shopping mall in America. But besides that, what are other things the fans can do in Minneapolis during All-Star Game weekend?
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous. My suggestion to any fan out there who is thinking of, you know, coming to Minneapolis for the All-Star Game is to take an entire week off of work and really make it into a vacation. The All-Star Game is going to be fantastic because it's going to highlight all of the wonderful things that we have in the Twin Cities metro area. You know, we have the third largest theater district in the country. We also have a professional hockey team, lacrosse team, football team. And so hopefully they'll figure out events that they can do during that time. The Lynx will probably be playing because it's going to be, you know, the middle of July. And, you know, we've got a little dominance headed there in the WNBA, and we also have the Timberwolves. So hopefully those teams step up and kind of make it into a opportunity for them to showcase themselves as well. I mean, a lot of them are in the off season, but they do have their facilities and they can bring players back into town. Minneapolis itself is just full of awesome restaurants, bars, and the area around Target Field is fantastic. It's one of those stadiums where the games let out and everyone just kind of invades the neighborhoods around there. And so it's going to give fans a really awesome opportunity to experience fine dining, fun interactive bars, you know, like quiet rooftops, those things in an area that's within walking distance of the stadium, which is something that I think the Twins will benefit from, which was different in Kansas City. In Kansas City, you had to take a shuttle from downtown to the hotel, and when you got back to downtown after the games or after the home run derby, you didn't really know where most of the people were going to be because it's kind of spread out. So I think what's really going to be great about that is just the sense of knowing when the game's over that everyone's going to be in the same location. So it's just going to be one giant party. It's going to, I mean, a Twins game on a typical Friday or Saturday night when it lets out is probably the most fun place to be in the entire state. So to know that people from across the country and Canada are going to be coming here, and they're all baseball lovers, and they're all there for the same reason. Ugh, man, I just, like I said, I want it to be 2014 already. But I encourage fans to also explore the areas outside of the Twin Cities. You know, we have the land of 10,000 lakes, and we actually have over 11,000. And that area in northern Minnesota is just such a special place, and it's just a bunch of towns that triple in population in the summer, and they're all situated on beautiful lakes, and so if you have any interest in camping, hiking, swimming, you know, being active outdoors, I like to cabin. I don't camp, I cabin. There's a ton of opportunities to just explore this beautiful state and to get out of the metro area. So I encourage everyone that is coming for the All-Star Game to take an entire week off. And once the All-Star festivities are over, go and enjoy yourself, you know. Besides the lake country, we also are situated right on the Mississippi and the St. Croix, and there's beautiful places to explore there. I was just up on the North Shore about an hour south of the Canadian border, and it's breathtaking. It's all mountains and hiking and rivers, and we went, like, cliff jumping into Lake Superior. It really just – the state offers so much, and I think there's something here for everyone. So there's my great state of Minnesota plug for the afternoon.
I know the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor of Minnesota might call you down for the PR campaign to get this going for 2014. For fans that are worried there's nothing to do, oh, it's Minneapolis, I don't want to go. Lindsay just proved there are plenty of things to do in Minneapolis.
And you can hang out with me. I mean, that should be like number one. Let's just rewind what we just talked about and put hanging out with me at number one and then everything else below. I think that's a fair assessment.
Well, that was number one on my list. If you keep inviting all of these people, that's less time for me and you and me to hang out at all these bars.
Well, we'll figure it out.
All right. All right. Can't get you out without talking about the 2012 MLB Fan Cave. You were one of the cave dwellers. What was it like to just go to Greenwich Village, 4th and Broadway, people looking in, and just sitting there and watching baseball all day. What kind of experience was that for you?
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was crazy. It was so much more than I ever thought it was going to be. And after spending so many months to get myself into the cave, getting to New York was just kind of like a huge sigh of relief. It was exhausting, don't get me wrong. We were there a lot of days from 9 or 10 in the morning until after 2 for the West Coast games. And so you really, you know, you put life on hold and like any sense of a schedule or, you know, like regular habits, like doing laundry or working out, all of that kind of goes out the window. But you're in this, like I said, once in a lifetime experience, and it was a blast. I had a really great time. It was something that I'll never get to do again. And for that moment, it was the time of my life. I was having the time of my life living in New York City, watching and, you know, covering and hanging out with people involved in my favorite sport. But I also think it'll be a springboard to just the next adventure. I by no means want to say that the MLB Fan Cave is as good as it's going to get for me. I think it's just hopefully going to open a lot of doors. I think for all of us, it was just a really awesome experience to kind of showcase our talents in different ways. And my team didn't do as well as I had hoped they would. You know, it's been a really tough season to be a Twins fan, and that's kind of aggravated when you have to sit in the fan cave and watch your team every day, whereas at home you could turn off the TV or, you know, you get frustrated, you can turn the channel. You couldn't do that in the cave, and I think that was a learning experience for all of us, some more than others. Some people handled losing a little bit better than others. I won't name names, but it was awesome. And the best part for me was the fact that now I have my MLB Fan Cave family, and it's not even necessarily the people that I was in New York with. It's the people that I've met along the way and others who were in the top 50 or the top 30 or like you who had just applied. I never would have become friends with any of these people had it not been for the Fan Cave. And that's really, besides hopefully career connections, the thing that I'm taking away the most. So,
all right, going to put you on the spot. Besides Joe Mauer and probably Brian Dunsing and Matt Capps and Liam Hendricks, all the Twins that visited the Fan Cave, favorite player or celebrity that you met at the Fan Cave this season?
Oh, goodness. George Brett is up there just because he's such a character, and he really kind of took us under his wing as, like, his little Fan Cave family and sent us a bunch of awesome ribs and then made sure to visit us in Kansas City. But it's going to be cliche to say this. I had a really good time with Charlie Sheen. He was, I had a preconceived notion, I think, as most people would, of what he would have been, he was going to be like. And he was so different. He was so just, very charismatic and very goofy. And I think he, you know, knows the mistakes he's made and he's willing to kind of accept those. But he's a great baseball mind. And for me, and I'm not bringing this up to rub it in, I promise. For me, it was really cool getting to sit there and talk with him about, he was at Game 6 of the 1991 World Series, so we talked about Kirby and all of that. So that was really awesome. It was something that, you know, you hear it from someone else, and I was too young to really remember it, but hearing it from someone that was in the dome, and yeah, it was really cool. Oh, besides that, I mean, Charlie Sheen's like a dead giveaway. Who else did I really enjoy? Ron Swanson. He was, it's not, oh God, I'm totally blanking on his real name.
Nick Offerman.
Thank you. I know his wife, Megan. Yes. Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson. He was a hoot, and I almost peed my pants. Like, that's an honest assessment of his time in the Fan Cave, was that I almost peed my pants. But
don't think that I caught you trying to sneak in one more reference to the 1991 World Series there. I'm a little upset now. But
well, this is the thing. If you're going to stay in my apartment in July of 2014 for the All-Star game, you're going to have to deal with it anyway because it's all over my walls.
All right.
So, just saying. Just be happy I'm not making you like a Homer Hankey quilt, okay?
All right. I'll figure it out. I'll hit up the psychiatrist. Maybe I'll undertake some hypnosis before I go to
Or just make your team the World Series in either 2012 or 2013, and you will get over it.
Done and done. Three people still left in the Major League Baseball Fan Cave this season in New York. Less than 400 games left in the regular season. Ricardo Marquez, Ashley Chavez, and Kyle Thompson. Lindsay, I'll spare you picking one. I know you don't want to have to pick out of one of your friends left in New York City, but good luck to them the rest of the way. We'll see who ends up the Fan Cave champion. Lindsay, thank you so much for being our senior Minnesota correspondent, breaking down the 2014 Major League Baseball All-Star Game, again going to be hosted by Target Field and the Minnesota Twins. Make sure you follow Lindsay on Twitter. It's at Lindsay Gensel, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, not the E-Y, A-Y for Lindsay, G-U-E-N-T-Z-E-L. Follow her there. She has way more followers than all of us combined here at 3U3D. So she's wonderful on the Twitter. Get all your Minnesota goods from her. Thank you so much for joining us, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. I'll be in touch with you soon.
All right. That was Lindsay Gensel, the 2012 MLB Fan Cave cave dweller, huge Twins fan. For everything Twins related, you can follow her on Twitter at Lindsay Gensel. And while you're at it, follow us on Twitter. It's at 3U3D. That is going to do it for us this week. Make sure, as I said, follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. It is 3 up, 3 down, all words, no numbers over there. Send us an email, 3u3dbaseball@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns. Hey, make sure you read the blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Next week, it is the roundtable's favorite week of the month, where they get to take a gripe with me on my monthly awards rankings, Cy Young, MVP, Rookie of the Year. Maybe we'll even dabble a little into Manager of the Year this month, as those races are all heating up, even though AL Rookie is pretty much already locked down with Mike Trout. But we'll see what they come up with to yell at me next week. So check that out, the blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. We set a new monthly record in the month of August for views with over 6,700. We'll tell you where we're ranked next month. They took the Labor Day weekend off over at the Major League Baseball blog offices. So we'll have the news probably tomorrow. Check it out on Twitter. We'll tell you where we're ranked. I'd like to thank my Baseball Roundtable associates once again for joining me. Brian Boynton, I still have Lindsay Gensel on the brain. Brian Boynton, Kurt Peter, Angela Felicia, Jeremy Dorn, for senior Minnesota correspondent Lindsay Gensel. I am just merely Brian Mapes. We ran out of time. We will get to Enny Mata the next time.